Hello everyone, welcome to Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends, the podcast where I speak to people much more interesting than myself. Please enjoy. Hello and welcome to this edition of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. I thought I'd mix things up a bit and go back into my sporting background to bring on my guest for today. So joining me today is a young lady who I worked with in Toronto, Canada when I lived over there as a soccer coach. She's now plying her trade in Split in Croatia and is the Croatian national goalkeeper, despite being Canadian. Hello, Stephanie Bukovic. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
No problem. You're joining me all the way from Croatia, where you are locked down, working. How does this work? What are you doing with yourself?
So right now we are in season. We just started preseason, but we're still in kind of a lockdown. But because we're first division, we're allowed to train.
Okay, so first division is kind of their Premier League, is it, for Croatia?
Yeah. So first division, women and men are allowed to train at the moment.
Yeah.
And we're about to have training camp soon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you have national camp. I remember you said that to me as well. Because I messaged you, like, do you want to be on the podcast? And you're like, I can do any time except these 14 days you want to talk to me.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll be probably training and sleeping.
Yeah, naps before big sleeps.
Yeah.
How long have you been out in Croatia? Because last time I talked to you was in Belfast when we had you over here, and you were playing for a team in Iceland at the time.
Yeah. So actually, after I was in Iceland playing in Champions League, I went to Split, and then from Split, I went to Ajax, and then from Ajax, I went back to Split because I needed to figure out some stuff with my Croatian citizenship. So that's why I came back, and honestly, I loved it here. I love the team. I love the city. I made some great friends. So I kind of wanted to settle somewhere for 2 years. So I just, you know, Croatia is what I decided.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, going right back, you are obviously from Toronto, which is where I met you. And yeah, I think at this point, I think I've worked with 3/4 of your family at this point. I know your brother and I know your sister.
Yeah.
I did, whenever I first met Steph, I had the previous year worked with her older sister, and I did the most Irish mother thing, which is like forgetting your kids' names. And I think for the first 2 days, I kept calling you by your sister's name. I will forever be apologetic for that because it happens to me all the time. Like, I'm the third kid out of 4.
Yeah.
And even though I'm like, I tour the world and do comedy, no one remembers my fucking name. I'm like, what do you people want from me? So
that's funny though, because when I was coaching with like another coach, I don't know if you know, remember Pierce at all, people called him Pickles.
Yes.
But when he coached with me first, and then he decided to coach, not decided, but he coached with Natalie later, and he was calling Natalie my name. So same thing happened with her. So don't worry about it. We look alike.
Yeah, I think that just comes from the basis that, you know, one's the older. So I always get my name forgotten because I have 2 older brothers, and then I get that one. But in your house, I mean, you guys are an entirely sporting household. So you're a pro baller. Your sister's a coach. Is she still coaching in Canada?
She's still coaching. Yeah, she's a university coach.
That's amazing. She's doing that. I know that. Your bro, is he still playing basketball and playing soccer, doing everything?
He's going to do 1 more year of college in basketball, but now he's like trying to train people.
Oh, very cool. And then your twin sister, who I've never seen 2 twins that don't look alike.
Yeah. She's a pro beach volleyball player for Canada. So she plays for Canada. I play for Croatia.
We're going to get to that in a bit, but I just thought, I always just think it's really funny. Whenever you said, she's like, oh, my sister plays, you know, like beach volleyball for Canada. I was like, oh, cool. So she can practice for what, 3 months of the year? Do you know?
Indoor in Canada.
Yeah, indoor. Yeah. Ontario is like +40 or -40. And it's like,
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been enjoying one of our mild European winters versus can't go out of the house, right?
Yeah. So not too bad here. So, I mean, I can't complain. I'm right by the water. I mean, it gets cold, but it's not Canada, so I'm happy.
Yeah. It's not Canada cold. That's what we'll put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone complains that it's too cold here. I'm like, nah, I mean, you go to Canada, then when it gets -40, let me know what you think.
Yeah. There's a reason Canadians like live in their basements in the winter. Just like, it's best just to have a fire and no windows. Trust me. And you're like, what? Yeah, every Canadian becomes like a hobbit. You guys just go underground for 6 months of the year. It's always astounded me about the country. Whereas here in Ireland, we're much more consistent. So we have the old North Atlantic current. So how geography works is, even though we're kind of like level with Canada on how the map goes, we're heated by like the North Atlantic current, which means that instead of being like really hot and then snowing like you guys get, it just pisses rain here all year, just to be different, you know?
And how do you like that? Just rain.
Just rain.
Irish weather.
Well, please remember that I used to live in Australia, so I kind of got spoiled for weather. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not like I can get a tan, but still, there's something to be said for nice weather. There's a, yeah.
Oh my God, your tan lines with Challenger Sports or your burn lines.
Oh yeah, I had some good ones. That's why I used to, because I used to wear my like my Gaelic football socks, which are like the old school football socks.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when you would roll up your sleeves, I think everyone from Ireland had that. So we just make fun of them.
Yeah, even the people who could get a tan. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's you're fair. Like playing a vest, you tan. What do you do?
Yeah.
I had that brilliant thing where we went over when we were working there. I was working with another coach, Connor. We were the in-house coaches for a team in Toronto called High Park, big massive club, and we went to watch. I think we went to watch a League One game just on a. Just up on one of the fields, there was a League One sort of like a league game, and we called up and we were chatting to some of the guys after, and one of the coaches came over and was like, "You guys European?" And we were like, "Yeah." And he went, do you want to try out for the team?" I was like, "Whoa, no." I know you're assuming because we're European we probably are rail into our football, but that's a terrible idea. I was like, at this point I was like, dude, I'm like, I'll die, don't make me.
Oh man.
Don't make me chase down like an 18-year-old trying to get a college scholarship, you know? I'll just be that guy that injures someone.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny.
Decided that was a bad idea. But how did you end up playing, and how did you go from Ontario to Croatia? Because you've been all over Europe now playing at this point, haven't you?
Yeah. So actually I went from Canada. I went to play in college. I did 2 years in Rochester, Michigan. I played for Oakland University. Didn't have the best 2 years there, so I decided to transfer to Belmont in Nashville, Tennessee. Sorry, that was my dog. And then from there, I knew I wanted to play professionally and play in Europe. So I went to Sweden. Then from Sweden, I went to Holland to play for Pek Zwolle. And then from Holland, I went to Iceland, played in Champions League, played against Ajax. That's when you were there. I had a really, really good tournament. You won UEFA Player of the Tournament. Ajax saw me, and I went to Croatia for Split, I went to Ajax, and then back to Croatia. So I've been traveling a lot, and I wanted to settle somewhere for more than, you know, 8 months out of the year living out of a suitcase.
Yeah. So the time I went to see you, because I saw you at Solitude, which is Cliftonville Stadium in Belfast here, which is an Irish league. Is that kind of mental that like the stadiums you guys get to play in, and that's like our Premier League stadiums? Here in Northern Ireland, that's where you play it. That's where like a team that won the league a few years ago, that's their home ground.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I like playing where you got like those fields, except the one turf field, there was a little too much rubber. So the ball would just like, it was the one that you're at, right?
No. I was at Solitude, which is, I think it's still a grass pitch. It was, you're thinking of Seaview, which is the other. Oh. Yeah, I know. Cause you guys had a game the day I was working, I couldn't go, but I thought it was really funny that you told me you got signed by Ajax, because I watched you play Ajax that day.
Yeah.
They were all over you guys.
Yeah.
I didn't score. It was so good.
Yeah. That's how I got to Ajax. I played great in that tournament. They're like, okay, we want this goalkeeper.
Yeah.
We got lucked out. We got the wild card because it was between us and Ajax. They had one goal for and one goal against, but we had zero goals against, but and they had, sorry, one more goal for. So I don't know. It was something like that. And we just got the wild card, and then we both went to the round of 32, which was great. We're both celebrating in the hotel and, you know, having some fun.
Yeah. Well, that was cool, man, because at least it means that it's pretty cool to get to say, your career builds. So you're now playing at national level. You're playing in the first division club, and then you've played in the Champions League. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not bad for the CV as well, if you're looking to move anywhere else. So.
Yeah. I still, still the goal is to play in a Euros or a World Cup. We just got to qualify. Croatia's never qualified.
Okay, so that's the next bit of homework?
Yeah, we got to. So we actually have, we play Romania in like a few days. but unfortunately we're not going to qualify. It's the last game of the qualifications.
For Euro or for World Cup?
For Euros.
Okay, so then they give you another 2 years and then you're into World Cup qualifiers?
Yeah, so it's going to be every 2 years and then every 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we should probably, before we sort of kind of get into depth about your national team duties, this is something I'm a big fan of because obviously we've been exploiting it on the island of Ireland for years, which is going in what we call the grandmother rule. So how did you end up being the goalkeeper for Croatia? Because you are very obviously Canadian.
Yeah, so I mean, I was born in Canada, but my grandmother, she was Croatian. She was born in Croatia. My dad was born in Slovenia. My grandfather was born in Italy, obviously when it was Yugoslavia. And then they came to Canada. And Natalie's husband, he's Croatian. He's from Vrsar. And he had connections with people here because he was playing football. And he kind of just like got me on audition with the Croatian national team during one time I was visiting family for Christmas. And yeah, they're like, okay, we want this goalkeeper, and kind of just stuck. They helped me get my citizenship, and you know, I've just been playing for them now.
So I know you, that was kind of who you declared for, but
yeah.
So let's do the list of countries you could have played for. So you had the options to go Canada. What did you say? Italy, Slovenia.
Croatia, and also Poland, because my mom's Polish.
I was going to say, I mean, I always thought you, because I remember you saying about your mom being Polish, so that's not a bad list.
No, basically just a bunch of mutts in Canada.
I think the term is cosmopolitan immigrant populations, but there you go.
I prefer mutts.
Yeah. No. Well, it's not too bad. I mean, isn't that the thing where you kind of, I mean, mutts are the best, you know, like purebreds are usually quite stupid. So if you mix in a few people, they're usually a bit clever, you know, it's all good. Oh, dude, I realized that they had so many teams you could have played for. That's Irish. No, we can't borrow you. No.
The problem was paperwork. That was always like the major issue because we just didn't have any.
Well, one of the things I was going to say was because also like where your grandmother and grandfather, like that kind of, Yugoslavia doesn't exist anymore. So how are you supposed to I'm from there? And you're like, you got any documents? You're like, well, it doesn't exist. So what do you want me to say here?
Yeah, it was really hard. So like the Federation had to like, you know, help me out with everything. And like my grandparents were born in like the 1920s. So we had like old paperworks that were like handwritten, you know?
Yeah. There's like an old book in a church somewhere with like your. It says they were married here. Yeah, we have that like for my grandparents were married in like I'd say probably like 1920 1921, so there's, you know, to find a record of that, it's probably on a scroll, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, nobody's just turning on the computer and just whacking the names in there, so is there much of a, did you ever play any underage football for Canada, or was it always
So I never played for Canada. I was always just like in the youth program with like the provincial program and stuff. But I mean, they would cut me, they would bring me back, they cut me, bring me back. And I just got like tired of the whole political side of it. I mean, everybody knew I was a better goalkeeper than the goalkeepers they had. And I just kind of like, I got tired of it. And I'm like, I'm going to go to a country where like they want me and are actually going to put effort into, you know, like getting me to play for them.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed when I was coaching in Canada is the system is completely different to what we would describe as the European system, which is what we use, which is when I was coaching in Canada, you'd have like the first touches. So they're coaching kids immediately from, you know, 5, 6, 7. And I was kind of like, when I was 3 and 4, I was just out in the street kicking a ball. You have to you kind of develop your touch on your own. It's very hard to coach a touch. And I noticed that in Canada, it was more the European immigrant kids who were just in their garden, whereas the other kids were like, no, we have to get signed up and we got to get a jersey and an official ball. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. See, like, that's what I did. Like, me and my sister, like, we would, like, play in a tennis court. Like, we would spray paint goals and, like, you know, turn the lights on and we would just play there. I would be freestyling in my backyard, and here it's like you gotta sign up for a team in order to play. Like, they don't do that anymore, which is, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, well, it was always crazy to me because the first team I joined was under 10s, so I'd never played for an organized team. until under 10s, but I'd obviously already been playing for 6 or 7 years with my two older brothers and all the kids in my street. Everybody played because it was just it was an outdoor sport. Your parents were, everyone had big families. They're like, get the fuck out of the house, go do something,
go outside and play. Yeah.
What do you want me to do? I don't care, here's a ball, go.
Go have fun.
Weirdly enough, we were very awkward as well, because we had like a proper football field just up the road that was part of a school, and then we had this little uneven bit of grass and a green down from the house, and we would play there. I don't know why, like it would have been made more sense, but it was kind of only in the summertime we would actually go use the proper field and have big organized tournaments among different like housing estates and little parts of the area.
It's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, it was better organized. I think it meant everyone was better, because you're playing with like older boys. I was like, my older brothers are 3-4 years older than me, 5 years older than me, but you're still playing with them.
Yeah.
Probably getting kicked around a bit as well. Didn't do any harm. Yeah. And then I also played Gaelic football and rugby and hurling. So these are all stuff you kind of makes you a tougher little kid coming into football.
Yeah, and like in Ireland, you guys have little courts, right? Like little football courts and stuff.
Yeah, you'll get those built as like in public parks. So they'll build and a park Croatia, for little kids, and then.
Yeah, and Croatia, they're huge. And same when I was in Amsterdam and in Holland, like they're everywhere. Even like small little turf fields that people could just go and play. But in Canada, like there's nothing. You gotta go on a tennis court and just like kind of make your own, you know, nets and stuff. But it's cool that Europe has a lot of that for kids to play.
Yeah, I remember reading once that they were talking about the Brazilian team, and it was the best thing to create the best way to create a national team is with poverty and a football.
yeah
because it's, you know what I mean, like that was us, like the poor kids of, so my one pair of boots were my, that was soccer, Gaelic, hurling, and rugby with the one pair, so I could play four sports. Yeah. Like my family, whenever the kids were like, can we go to judo? And my parents were like, well, what do you need for that? I'm like, there's like the special pajamas. How much are they? Oh, like £50? No, you're playing football. So
that was like my brother for hockey. It was so expensive. My mom's like, hey, you're going to stick to basketball or soccer? That's it.
Yeah. And luckily he's a basketball player and he's fucking massive, so that's okay.
Exactly. And I was fortunate too, like as I was getting older, you know, my single mom, four kids, she couldn't pay for all of us to play in sports. So I actually had coaches, you know, from the clubs and stuff, like just allow me to play. Like I didn't have to pay the fee, because in Canada, it's ridiculous. It's getting so expensive now for like youth kids to play. It's crazy.
One of the things I wanted to say, Canada, and I suppose with the amount of money that goes into it in North America in general. So obviously the United States system of a lot of cash things. Yeah. Canada is kind of weird, because coming from my background, football is the sport that the poor kids play.
Exactly.
Everyone can play.
Yeah.
You know, like we didn't pay fees to play. I had none of that. Our team were organized, like my local club when I was a kid organized like a little team lottery that you could buy raffle tickets for. And that was the money that paid to keep the kids going. Parents took their kids to games. We had, you know, there's car fulls of kids. It was so dangerous. Like 8 people in a backseat. It was the 90s, okay? It was okay. It was the 90s in Northern Ireland. It wasn't the most dangerous thing that was happening. Do you know what I mean? We had... Yeah, so it was okay. But it's kind of weird. Is it... Does it make you a little bit sad about Canada that's maybe a restriction to bring forward the new best player?
100%. Yeah, definitely. And like even like the whole program with like the provincial program and getting noticed by Canada, you have to play... at a certain level, I think it's OPDL now, and you have to pay a lot of money to play in that league. So a lot of kids, you know, they can't afford it, and you don't even get looked at if you don't play in that league. But what about all the other kids that, you know, who are 10 times better and are not playing in this league? They don't even get a chance to be seen by Canada. So I think the system is a little flawed, but you know, it is what it is. You can't really do anything about it.
Is that Canada maybe copying the kind of hockey system? Because I know when I was there, they were saying, oh, you can play, you know, junior A, double A, triple A. And I was like, wait a minute, you're all playing the same sport, right? And they're like, oh yeah, but it's different divisions. And if you want to go to this team, it costs you $10,000 a year. If you want, I was like, wait, what? I was chatting to a friend of mine, and he said when he was a kid, now he's in his 40s now, he said his mom had a second job to let him play hockey.
Oh my God. I don't know much about hockey, so I don't know much about that system, but that sounds about a little right to me.
Yeah. No, but I mean, even doing that to have your kids registered for like a local club, I think maybe we come from our local sports clubs are very much based on, it's a community organization. And we have it that, probably coming from the Gaelic sports background, where you don't really pick your team. You play where you're from. You're a representative of your area.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird to see that, where people go, oh, I'm going across the city to play for them. You're like, what? No, you just play where you're from. You know, you play with your friends, because that's the system you come up with.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, I'm sure it must be different to see that. I mean, in Croatia, it's probably very similar to Ireland, where you'll just see kids in the street with a ball.
Definitely, 100%. And like, there's little soccer goals absolutely everywhere where you can just go play and kick a ball around. And there's kids playing. So it's nice to see.
Yeah, it must be nice as well. But as I mean, probably coming from a generation. I mean, you're a lot younger than me, but what age are you now, Steph?
I'm 25. I'm a 95.
Yeah, dude, you're only 25. So do you already see a generation jump of you're out kicking a ball all the time to kids just staring at a screen all the time?
Yeah. Big difference. Because like, even when I was growing up, like I was playing in the street. Like we were playing, we'd have to move nets when we were playing like ball hockey, or like we're on a rollerblades. We were playing like manhunt and big jungle gyms and around the neighborhood and stuff. And you don't see kids like playing outside anymore, which is kind of weird.
I know. It's mental as well. I don't know why you guys don't have more. Like Canada is like, what is it, the least populated for the size of a country in the world? There should be greenery to build a fucking pitch for you guys.
Yep. So. I know. People are just getting, I think kids are like, I don't know, they're very entitled nowadays. And like, they're like on a short leash. Like they can't even like go outside by themselves without something happening. Or if you see a kid walking home, like we would go home. I would walk home from school and like, there was never a problem. But nowadays, if you walk home from school and someone sees you, it's like, what are your parents doing? Like, you can't be out here by yourself. I'm like, yo, like chill, like I'm 10, like I can walk home from school.
Yeah, I think maybe you have that. We're doing a bit of youth coaching with the new Gaelic club that we set up in Belfast. And one of the things that we were reading up on the fact is that you're not just trying to create a good player, you're trying to create a good person.
Yeah.
So you're trying to teach kids that, you know, look, sport's brilliant. And the best things I ever learned from sport, number one, it was not how to be a good footballer, because I'm a try hard, you know what I mean? One of those things. So it taught me, you know, I learned a lot of social skills. I met some of my really good friends. There's a lot more important things, but I think we're kind of getting into that point where if you throw so much money at stuff, which I noticed in the North American system, is it's like win at all costs. Like there's no value in creating like a really good player. It's just like, it just filters out. I'm just like, well, you got to give people a chance to learn.
Yeah. Do you even know about like the whole system now where like you're not allowed to keep score in like games?
Is that up to a certain age?
Up to a certain age. But like when I was growing up, that's the whole point. Like it's competition.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a winner and loser. Like that's what makes you better. If you have no winner and no loser, like how do you learn from it? How do you grow? How do you get better as a team or even as an individual? And everybody's getting a participation trophy and medal. I don't know. I think we're getting a little baby because kids are complaining, and you know, you're not going to make it in the real world if that keeps happening.
That would be my concern. Would be if you're, as you said, babying people, you get to a point where that individual in the real world, in maybe their job, hears the word no for the first time when they're like, what, 20? That's gonna be a nightmare.
Yeah, and their parents did everything for them.
Yeah, I don't think we can probably have that.
Yeah. So.
No, my parents would have been the first. Like, if my folks definitely weren't one of those parents, you know, like, oh, my kid would never do that. My mom would be like, "What did you do? Tell me now."
Just tell me what you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just get this over with quickly.
My mom's like, just be honest. Even if you did it, just tell me. Like, you're not going to get in trouble. Just tell me. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I got fooled for that so many times.
Yeah, right. I'm like, okay, I did it.
Yeah. Get out here. I'm not gonna hit you. Oh, really?
Yeah. Trying to run away.
Because you said that the last time. I remember getting hit. Yeah.
We would hide under the bed because like my mom couldn't get us.
That poor woman chasing four kids. Good God.
Four kids. Yeah. Oh, but we were terrible. Like, I don't know how she did it. Like we were four very competitive kids, just like always fighting, always yelling, just trying to work. And we're always like under her feet, so I don't blame her.
Not too bad. I probably wasn't in the house long enough to be any sort of nuisance.
Yeah.
No, probably not. I probably wasn't actually very noticeable or loud until I got my drum kit when I was like 15. So.
Oh wow.
Oof. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you that story. That's a parent trying to teach a child a lesson and it backfires terribly.
Oh so my God. Yeah.
I went to my mum and I said, some friends of mine are starting a band. They need a drummer. Can I buy a drum kit and learn how to play the drums? And my mom was like, well, how much are a drum kit? How much is it? And I said, they're about £500. So like 900 Canadian probably.
Yeah.
And my mom said, Darren, I can't afford that, but I'll tell you what. Now, she obviously thought this was going to be a life lesson. She said, if you can save up the money and buy them yourself, never thinking in a million years that this little kid with a part-time job was going to save up this money. She's like, you can have them. And I was like, no problem. I went to my mate and I said, my mom said I have to buy the kit myself, so I probably can't buy the stuff. And he just went, my auntie's selling a kit. It's just been sitting in her attic. She'll probably give it to you for like £50.
Oh my God.
So I came home like 2 days later. My mom was like, what are you doing? I was like, I got a kit for like a tenth of the price I said they cost. So we all learned a valuable lesson that day.
Yeah. Oh man, it's funny because I actually was trying to learn the drums too when I was younger. But my mom wouldn't buy me a set, so instead I got like this little black pad and like two drumsticks, and I would just be playing on that, and I'm like, well, this is not learning. So I just like stopped. I was like, I don't want to play the drums anymore.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she kind of tricked you into it. She's like, I'll give her $30 for this little thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to lessons with like this little black pad, and like I'm playing on it. He's like, yeah, now go home and like learn. I'm like, learn what? It's a pad. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. You're actually, yeah. I'm guessing you were learning rudiments. That's what they call that when you're playing on your little snare. But
I had no idea. Couldn't remember any of that. So.
Well, look, at least you had sport. Whatever you were playing, I mean, how does the system differ, like your youth system in Canada? Because you guys have, now, where I come from, because it's like a smaller population, you go up in grades of 2 years. So it's like under 10s, under 12s, under 14s, under 16s.
Okay.
I think it's under 16, under 17, and then you're pretty much a senior. So then you're just playing for the local team, you know, or the local team that's sponsored by like a bar. We have our local leagues would all have, each team will have a pub that they change in and go back to after the game to discuss how the game went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the system we run, but it seems to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, I don't know. It's different from what it is now, and I'm not entirely sure how it works now. Natalie would know more about it because she's coaching and stuff. Not too familiar with it anymore, but we'd have every year though. I do know that.
So you guys would, but did you do, you say you do it by like year of birth? Are you like a 95, a 96?
Yeah.
That's too much maths for me. That's like, what age are you? 11, you're playing under 12. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it was my birthday, so it was weird.
Yeah, it's so weird as well because like, I grew up playing and I think I played football up until a bit under 14, 15. That was just when I stopped playing sort of organized football because I was still playing Gaelic sports, Gaelic football, and the one where you can use your hands. I think I showed you that one when you were here, and hurling as well. So I just kind of, it kind of took precedent. But then even through my 20s, I was always just playing. We would have lots of five-a-side every week. Even when I was doing stand-up, we would have had like a load of comedians meet up during the week. We had a five-a-side league down at one of the university pitches because five-a-side is just a big thing as well. But you're over in Croatia, are you playing futsal as well, or are you just doing a bit of that to keep fit?
So funny story about that, actually. I was, you know, off season, I actually wasn't allowed to play, and I didn't know this, so I kind of got a little bit of trouble with my club. You know, I wasn't hiding it. I was like posting it on my story, posting it on my Instagram, everything like that. And like I get a message from my club being like, what are you doing? Like, you're not allowed to be playing futsal. And I was like, oh, I didn't know, like, it's off season, you know, COVID, we were off for 2 months. So I'm like, gyms are closed. It was just something to like get touches on a ball. Everything worked out, but, I was playing, but I'm not allowed. And before, like I was playing cage, which is like 3v3 soccer here, 4v4.
Yeah.
Not allowed to do that anymore. So, had some rules. They set some rules for me, basically just training with the team, and that's it now.
Yeah. Well,
I was playing football. apparently. Yeah, well,
I was going to say, but I mean, I know that from whenever we were working for Challenger in Canada, we would coach during the day and then we'd organize a game at night for the coaches. So yeah. I'm sure you're doing the same thing. You're like, well, I just want to play football. What's the big deal?
Yeah, it's getting injured. And I got injured. So I don't blame them because I had an injury back in October and it's still have some pain, but it wasn't during football. Like they thought I got injured playing cage. And it was honestly, I was at home and I fell down some stairs, like the stupidest injury. It was so stupid, which is why they don't believe me. And I'm like generally telling them that like I was at home, you know, I rolled my ankle and like the doctor saying you got stepped on playing on cage. Like you can't do this. It's not the type of injury if you roll it. I'm like, you're wrong. This is what happened. I'm telling you. So basically for 4 months, I was just like arguing with my president. Like trying to tell my head coach like this is what happened, and they're like, okay, we're just gonna drop it, we don't believe you, but okay. I'm like, all right.
Oh man, that's like a passive aggressive boyfriend. I don't believe you, but we'll forget about it. You're like, well, you're clearly not forgetting about it, you're still fucking talking about it.
And then when the futsal thing happened, they're like, well, we know you were playing cage. And I was like, I thought we weren't gonna talk about this anymore. I thought this was done.
Oh, this has turned into a way better story, because I was just going to ask you if there was much of a difference, because I've never played futsal. Is there a real difference? It looks like a field hockey goal to me. So I was like,
yeah, right. Well, I was playing futsal too. Like when I was a younger, I was playing like in a Spanish league with like a bunch of boys. The rules are a lot different. And it's like with a small ball. So I love it. I love playing futsal and I miss it, but. I'm not allowed to play.
Oh, look, I understand you are a professional sports person, yeah, so they exactly. Have you contracted to do a job. Yeah. So that's different.
But it wasn't in the contract. In the contract, it didn't say anything. So, but now I'm like, okay, you could have told me. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's okay.
Next time they got to write it down on paper and let me know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like till the letter of the law. Well, I would just be very wary of that, because it's like, but what if I enjoy other sports? Am I not?
Yeah.
Am I bad?
Like, like in my other contracts too, like when I was playing in Holland, like where we weren't allowed to ski, like we weren't allowed to snowboard. They would tell you what you can and can't do. And here, if they just told me I wasn't allowed to play, then, you know, I wouldn't have played futsal.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, I was going to say, certainly not where someone was filming you anyway.
Yeah.
One of the things I know about you as well, and I've seen you do it, one of your party pieces and something that you actually used to do for a bit of extra work back in Canada, are you still showing off doing the freestyling?
So I don't really freestyle that much as I used to. It used to be my job when I was like 15. I would do like a lot of shows for like the MLS. I would do commercials. I did stuff for the Women's World Cup. But like at a point in my life, like when I was younger, I was trying to figure out if I wanted to play professionally, or if I wanted to like pursue freestyling professionally. And you know, the money was with freestyling, but I just love playing more, so I stuck with that. And I don't really freestyle anymore because like I would get injured and it's just too much on my body, like trying to train twice a day and trying to freestyle. But it definitely, my freestyling definitely helped me to like this day with like my touch, and I can honestly say no female goalkeepers have like the ability with their feet that I have, so it's definitely paid off now.
Yet again, when we talk about a difference of system, whenever like you can freestyle, people would say to me, can you do that? You know, like the little kids at camp would go, can you do that? And I'm like, no. I'm like, look, I've played in defense or midfield most of my life. I can show you how to probably trip somebody, but I'll make it look like an accident. I don't know. I can teach you the dark arts. I definitely can't do that over the head thing, whatever Steph's doing in the corner there. I don't know. So.
My mom was like, you should have joined a circus. I was like, okay.
Yeah. You're like, hey, I'd still be traveling. It's fine. So.
Yeah.
When, I mean, with the old COVID thing as well, I know you're able to train and work again, but when was the last time you got back to Canada? How does that work now?
Canada's making some weird rules, but I didn't go back for Christmas because I wanted to stay here and train, and everything was closed in Canada. And actually everything ended up being closed in Croatia. But I would have had a harder time coming back to Croatia. So there were just too many rules. And now actually, if you go back to Canada, because Natalie was thinking of coming here for coaching, like she got invited by the club to kind of observe training and stuff like that. But Canada is like mandating that if you leave and return, you have to stay in a hotel. but you have to pay for yourself, and it could be up for up to like $3,000 for 3 nights in a hotel. And it's
three nights,
and it can, you can pay up to $3,000, and it's mandatory if you come back.
Okay, so they have that. That system is something that they're doing currently in Australia and New Zealand, but
yeah,
the government are subsidizing it. They're not. Why? Jesus Christ, Canada! That's really like putting their hands in your pockets for 3 nights. You can, you have to isolate for two weeks in Australia and New Zealand, and you pay a, like a flat fee. So you could be staying in a 5-star, or you could stay in a 3-star, and it's the same price. Yeah. It's just like, it's our idea, so you're gonna pay for it.
Yeah, I think because Canada, like, we had, like, the government was giving us money, and I think they made a lot of mistakes with that. Like, a lot of people who weren't eligible to take the money got the money, and they just, you know, they, the government lost a lot of money for that. So now I think they're just trying to get it back by doing this.
This is harsh.
Yeah.
I suppose that is kind of, I mean, one of Canada's biggest exports is, well, not exports, one of the things that generates the money is tourism, whenever people like me show up, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit scary.
Yeah, so I hope that ends soon, but it would have been nice to see my sister, and now she can't come because she's scared she won't be able to get back into Canada without paying a lot of money. So
okay, well, you're when are you contracted with Split until? How long are you there for?
So I signed for 2 years, so I'm here until 2022. But our season's done in June, so I wanted to go home in August, and I think COVID will die down a little bit and there won't be so many rules. So that's when I plan to go home for like a little, I think a month and a half, and then I'll come back for preseason. Cause I did want to enjoy summer here in Split because it's beautiful here.
Got you. I was going to say, if you don't get to go home, I'm in Croatia in August. So of
course,
when you're not there. Yes. My younger brother is getting married in Dubrovnik. We were supposed to go last year.
Yeah.
COVID like closed everything. Here. Yeah, I know.
Sick. That's cool.
I've researched this.
Okay, my goalkeeper coach is from there.
Yeah, so we're flying into Dubrovnik. We were going to fly to Split and drive down, and the initial plan was if everyone could get more time off work, I'd maybe fly into like Slovenia and drive in, but that wasn't able to happen. But yeah, we're waiting to see what the rules are. Hopefully in August it's died down a bit. If we have our vaccines here in Ireland as well, we might be able to do a bit more traveling. Yeah, because it didn't happen last year, but it will hopefully happen this year, and it'll be a bit of fun. So if you get stuck, I'll come see you, because I'm there for like 10 days, I think.
Yeah. Is it beginning of August or end of August?
I think beginning. I'm not sure. You know what? I'm going to double check that. Hopefully it's later, because obviously the later we push it, the more chance it's going to happen.
Yeah, fair.
No problem.
I'm hoping like Split will open everything up in the summertime. Because of tourists, right? Like they need to have, like that's how they make their money.
Yeah,
so they got to open everything up.
Yeah, hopefully it's able up and running. But your next project is you're off to, you're playing Romania. Is that a home game or do you guys have to travel?
Yeah, so it's a home game. It's like a makeup game because of COVID and everything. So we have actually training camp with the national team in Pula, and then we have preseason with our team Split in Pula. So we just stay there for an extra, I think, 10 days. So like 5 days, I think, with the national team, and then 10 days with Split, and then we play Romania.
Okay, where's Pula? I'm looking at a map of the world, but it's out of date, so Croatia's not on it.
Oh my God, you're asking me now. I think it's in Istria. Yeah, it's another, I guess, region of Croatia. I'm not exactly entirely sure where it is, but it's, I think it's like maybe like 10 hours from here by car.
Yeah. People of Croatia, this woman represents you at a national level. There you go. Yeah. How are you? How are you getting on with the language as well? Because you're the token foreigner on the team. So how are you coping with the team talks?
It's good. So I'm actually I'm trying to learn, but like I'm not the best when it comes to learning foreign languages. So it's a little bit of a struggle. And Croatian is such a hard language to learn because there's so many tenses and conjugations and everything, but I do understand more a lot on the field versus like off the field, because I'm there involved with it every single day and my goalkeeper coach is speaking to me in Croatian and, you know, translating. So I think eventually I'm hoping that I'll be fluent, but I think it's going to take a while for me.
Well, the best way to learn any language is with cultural immersion, which is so like
they just speak English, so it's like you speak English to me and then I speak English to you and then I can't learn that way, you know?
Yeah, true.
So they're starting to just speak Croatian to me and that's it. And if I don't understand something, I just say that and they'll translate for me. I'm like, okay, so that's what that means. So that's how I'm going to learn.
Well, that's good. At least then you've heard it, you're explained, yeah. And then you hear it again. You go, well, I know what that one is. That's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that where whenever I moved to Canada, the first place I went to, because I was going to a music festival when I arrived from New Zealand, I went to Montreal.
Okay.
Learned a bit of French in school. So I was like, I've got enough French. I'm not going to starve. And I know how to say a beer. Yeah. I should be sweet. Yeah. And then when I spoke French to people, they were like, oh, no, we speak Quebecois. It's different to French. I was like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah. That's funny, because when I took French in elementary school or like even high school, just for like 1 year, and then I went to America and I was learning French. I'm like, this is different French.
Yeah, you're learning grammatical French, whereas in Canada, I need to be able to speak to people in Ottawa. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, but I'm like, I still can't speak French. So, and I took it for too many years in school. So.
Yeah. Once again, well, that's a thing. I mean, in Canada, it's on the street signs, right? Both languages. I think that's it. Or any official documentation. Because even my little Canadian visa had the...
Quebec for sure. But in Canada, it's like you have French and English. But in Quebec, it's like mainly French is their first language. So, and they get mad if like you speak English there.
I've had that. The main French phrase that I use everywhere I go is "je apologies, je ne parle français," which is basically "sorry, I don't speak French."
Yeah.
But I get a pass because I get to say "je suis irlandais," and then they go, "Oh, you're Irish. That's okay. You know that's we're everybody loves us, right?"
Yeah, but you're from Canada and you don't speak French. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh shit, sorry.
Yeah, I had a guy actually when I was trying to get a SIM card from a phone when I was in Montreal, and there's a guy speaking to me and he was like, "You don't speak French," and I was like, "I did it in school, but I only know enough to like order food and stuff, sorry." And he's like, "Why don't you speak French?" And I was like, "Well, where are you from?" And he went, "I'm from Algeria." And I was like, "You only speak French because they took your country off you, leave me alone." You wouldn't be speaking French either.
Yeah.
But so you're back on, how many caps have you got now for your national team?
So I only have three right now because I got my first cap in 2017. But then stuff fell through with my citizenship. So I actually just got my domovnica, what it's called, which is my citizenship, like 4 days ago, which is why I got invited to this camp.
So then I'm going to. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I've waited 3.5 years for this. So it's finally done. And I will do my passport Thursday in Zagreb before camp. So I'm like, this is like, I've been waiting so long and it finally happened.
Dude, that's very cool. I'm very happy for you. And that's, I'm trying to think now, is, are Croatia European Union or the EU?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Freedom of travel. That's the one you want.
Yeah. EU passport. Let's go.
Yeah, buddy. No, definitely enjoy that one. Cause, obviously we had the whole Brexit thing because I live in Northern Ireland. So people were saying, "Oh, do you think Brexit's going to be a bad thing?" And I was like, "Well, I've got an Irish passport, so she'll be okay."
Yeah. I want to know too, like what's going to happen to England now? Like, cause you had to have an EU passport playing in England. And now that it's not, I don't even know what the rules are going to be.
Yeah. The FA are going to probably have to change that. What, I mean, I know you're doing your 2 years in Croatia, but is there a dream league?
So I would love, the dream is to play in England, but I mean, I'm in no rush to play there, but that's definitely been the goal since I was a kid. So I would love to do that. But I didn't have a European passport. And if you were only allowed to play in England, if you played for the national team, if you played for like 75% of matches, so I could basically never play there. And now I have an EU passport. So I don't know what the rules are going to be.
That's crazy. Cause I would have thought if you're good enough and they want you, don't they do the paperwork? I didn't realize there'd be so many rules to.
There's so many rules. I didn't even realize until I was like emailing a bunch of teams.
Yeah. Just like, "Hey, you know, really like your stuff. I love your program. Can I come play for you?" And they're just like, "No, because you're." There's all sorts of weird rules as well. Probably, you know, like home nations and Commonwealth and all that shit as well. It's probably stuff that's really outdated, but it's in an FA charter from 1942, you know?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, you've got your international caps now. You're going to have your citizenship, so that's your EU passport. That's pretty cool. But look, you're doing pretty well on countries visited for 25, because I didn't take off properly traveling until I was like 26, but now I'm up to, I think, 43 countries. So.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
But you'll get a plenty more playing national team? Because once you guys go into qualification rounds, you'll be all over the place, I'd say.
Yeah.
That's okay. So this is the year, our split in this year's Champions League coming up. Are you going to be on the road again?
So we just played in Champions League. We went to Poland and we lost. But it's because of COVID. So usually you play in the qualifications, like what I did with Ireland or in Ireland, Northern Ireland. You're guaranteed 3 matches and you have a group. And then the best team, you know, makes it onto the next round. But unfortunately, we didn't have that because of COVID. So you just played one team once and whoever won made it through the next round. And it wasn't fair. Like, I mean, we lost 4-1, but they weren't anything special. Like if we played the game, it could have been anyone's game. So we lost and then we were out of Champions League.
Yeah, I think is there much in Croatia? Is there much visibility for the ladies' game?
So there's basically only 2 teams here that are like good. So it's us and Osijek, and we're both in first place right now. And we have the next match against them end of March, and it's home. So that game is basically the decider who's gonna win the league. So it's really just us 2 teams that like get visibility.
Okay. No, just because we have a big thing here. So one of the big things is promotion of sport, especially for ladies sport, which is now a bigger deal. The Northern Ireland ladies have qualified for the Euros for the first time ever. I know 2 of the girls that play for them. They're qualified because they're both Gaelic players. They play ladies football, Gaelic football, and also play for some of the local clubs here. Playing soccer. I hate calling it soccer. Sorry, football. But we have a big program here for ladies Gaelic football. It's called Can't See, Can't Be. And it's basically how are young ladies or how are girls supposed to be promoted into sport whenever they don't see it anywhere?
Yeah.
So it's a promotion which is more games on TV. The finals are now held in the national stadium.
Nice.
So it's really cool. I went to the All-Ireland final not last year because of COVID, because there was nobody at it, but 2 years ago, and there was 50,000 people in the national stadium.
Yeah, that's really cool, actually. That's good.
Yeah, so it's an incentive for the girls to do it, and now there's like TV advertising, there's great sponsorship deals. A lot of the Irish ladies who play Gaelic football in the off season are now being flown, so you don't get paid to play a Gaelic football, but they're being flown to Australia to play Aussie rules, because it's a similar idea. Use your hands, kicking game. So those girls are getting taken up as professional athletes for like 4 months of the year, getting the best training and strength and conditioning in the world, and then coming back. So it's all building, basically.
Yeah, very, very good. In Croatia, it's still kind of backwards. Like we don't, you know, women don't really get paid that much compared to men. It is progressing. It is getting a lot better. And the federation is you know, starting to do a better job with it. But when I was in Holland and I was playing for Ajax, they actually started putting the women's games, like just league games on TV, which was really cool.
That's like cool.
We had a home opener against PSV and it was televised. So not even just like an important match for a World Cup or Euros, just their league games were getting on TV and not just streamed, which was awesome to see that progression in women's sports.
Well, that's good that the clubs are taking that on themselves to do that, because I know like we have a dedicated TV show for like the Women's Premier League has its own TV show for over in England. And it's kind of getting that sort of thing where it's, as you say, how are people supposed to want to do it if they never see it anywhere? They don't know it exists. So it's there's also that thing as well. I mean, you said you played on boys teams. When I was a kid, we had some girls playing on our team until a certain level. And to be honest, they were probably the 2 best players on our team. So
that was like me and my friend too. Yeah. And she actually plays for Rangers now.
Oh, who's that?
My friend Sonia O'Neill.
Sonia O'Neill.
Yeah.
Very Irish name, that one.
She's like, she's Spanish Irish. She looks more Latina.
Okay. Another person gets a tan. Bastards.
Yeah, it's Rangers now. So it's, and we grew up playing with boys. And we were like the 2 best players in like the league.
Yeah. That's brilliant. That's somebody else who's, I mean, coming out and getting a professional contract. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully that keeps going on.
Like, it helped us so much more to like play with boys. So we're way better for that.
Yeah. But so when is the next game? So your duty is now, because obviously you were training today. So I was chatting to you and then What are you back in the gym tomorrow? Are you using what? How are you guys even training before you? Is it like club grounds?
Yeah, so we have like a gym session in the morning, and then we have a training session at like 2:30. And tomorrow we actually have a friendly game. But we're in the gym at 10 a.m. probably just to like roll out and stretch. And then our game is at 7, and then the next day I leave for camp for a national team.
Okay, and are any of your other players from Split on national with you?
Yeah, so I think about like 8 or 9 players on our team play for Croatia. So there's a lot of us.
All right, I mean, you're not going on your own. That's pretty cool.
No. I leave a day before to do my passport, and they leave on Friday. But yeah, it's a short drive. It's like 4 or 5 hours, so it's not far. Just to Zagreb.
Zagreb. Oh yeah, I think that was one of the other places we were pricing flights to fly into. I was like, do you want to do like an 8-hour layover? No, just drive in and drive down.
Yeah, you probably fly to Zagreb and then just drive the rest of the way.
No, we managed to get our flight straight to Dubrovnik, so that's where we'll be at. So it'll be good fun. No, I'm trying to think of anything else. So Romania is just a makeup game, but it's just another cap, right? So it's all.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we won't qualify, so it's just another game. But it's still, you know, great to represent your country and play. So I'm excited to be there.
Very cool. I see actually on your Instagram, you've got a pretty sweet photo shoot of you wrapped in the flag. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been waiting so long to post that because I didn't have my citizenship. And now that I have it, I'm like, I can post it.
Yeah, now you're able to actually put it up because you're just like, this one's for you, grandma.
yeah, exactly. So
that's cool. What did your mom think whenever you were like, I'm not going to play for Poland. Sorry, mom.
Honestly, she was like fine with it because we just didn't have the paperwork from Poland. After World War II, our grandparents came to Canada with like nothing. So they had literally like nothing. And I have no paperwork to show that I'm like even Polish. So even if I wanted to play for Poland, I couldn't. I'm more Polish than I am Croatian.
Yeah. Just to Canadian people, you just got a weird surname. You're just like, that's it. Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, but I have a Croatian last name. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Steph, I'm going to let you go and get a rest because I know you've been training twice today. So thanks for coming on and having a chat with me. I appreciate that one.
Absolutely loved it. It was
do you want me to use that? I'm going to use that photo of you for your little thumbnail when people click on the podcast. It's going to be in your flag with your gloves on.
Hey, okay. Nice.
No problem. Yeah. Hey, dude, good to see you. Lovely to catch up. Okay. Take care of yourself out there.
Bye.
See ya.